MDRadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up together into one tasty treat? Well, I know you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and we are here doing our culinary CPR today, brought to you by our friends over at Real Salt. Hey, are you keeping it real? Take a look at the ingredient panel on your salt. Even if it's a sea salt, you might be surprised by what's inside. Fillers, anti-caking chemicals, dextrose, and goodness knows what else is in there. That's why I want you to keep it real. Keep it natural. Head over to realsalt.com. Put in Dr. Mike. Get your coupon code discount over there, because Real Salt is mined from an ancient ocean from a long, long time ago, when the world was not only younger, but much healthier today. And you're going to get all the real stuff in Real Salt. And speaking of real stuff, the real deal is here with me today. My culinary companion in the kitchen, Chef Luca Paris. He's executive chef, owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, the fine dining restaurant in Keene, New Hampshire. You can also stop by the market at Luca's Light Bistro Style Fair, gourmet takeout. And hey, if you want to stay home, just call Luca. He has got Culinary Journey Catering. He'll come to you. Too many accolades to go into, just to mention a few: excellent dining, best service, wait staff, the list goes on and on. Best Mediterranean restaurant, best fine dining restaurant, best caterer in New Hampshire, best restaurant in the Monadnock region from New Hampshire Magazine. He's got his own weekly radio show, his regular guest on Cook's Corner on ABC's WMUR Channel 9 in New England, and of course his own cooking show that you want to check out, A Culinary Journey with Luca Paris, Cheshire TV. And of course you know him where he dominated and crushed the competition, and now he pretty much owns Food Network after that victory on Guy's Grocery Games. My friend, my companion, my culinary mentor, Chef Luca Paris, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, buddy, and I hope my audience is listening. It's great, man. Hey, it's great to be on with you. I got to tell you, you know what we did in the kitchen the other day that's so cool? We had a pig brought to our kitchen from a farm locally. And I was so excited. So I'm working with a brand new chef who works for me. His name's Vaughn Metcalf. 31 years old. The guy knows more about food than I'm going to forget. Or more, he forgets more about food than I know. Something like that.
Either way. Switch that, reverse it.
The kid, it's amazing what he's bringing to our place and his food. So he goes, "Look, I want to get a whole pig in here." And I was like, "Yes, this is what I've been waiting to do." So we had a beautiful pig come over from 3 Maple Farms in a town over from us in New Hampshire, and this 220-pound dress pig sat on my big table. And we have a 14-foot prep table. It's a gorgeous prep table that we do a lot of stuff on. And there was nothing more beautiful than seeing this pig on there, talking about how it was fed, raised on, you know, the cow milk that they have there, plus the wonderful feed that they have, the food that they have there at the farm. Nothing brought in that wasn't good for the pig. It was treated with love. And we've already eaten a couple of things off of it. We haven't even served anything from it yet. But it's amazing to see the difference, the amount of fat that's on the pork belly, to the marbling, to what happens when you buy a pig from a local farmer, not only knowing where everything goes, but when you see the difference even put up next to a factory-produced pig. It's incredible.
You,
night and day.
It really is. And much like you, I spent the night. We have some friends who are craft butchers. So there's a pig. I went out to the farm, and this was raised on a farm where they make sheep cheese. So mm-hmm. as you said, the leftover bits from cheese making, that protein, the whey, was what the animal ate, as long with what it could forage naturally around this yeah. absolutely beautiful, unstressed area. And these were heritage breed Berkshire hogs. And, you know, like you said, it was just an honor, really, to be there. And I worked with them all night. And, you know, we broke it down into different cuts. And as you said, you know, you could see just the difference in the, you know, the meats and the fats and everything. And really, as we've talked about before, you know, studies have come out now to show that a animal like you guys got, like what I was talking about working with my friends at Cloven Hoof, in Missoula, Montana, was that there is a different construction in terms of the quantity of fats and the quality of fats. And animals like this are much higher in omega-3s, much lower in omega-6s. The sorts of things that people look towards in terms of health benefits, why they go after seafood, salmon, you know, things like that. Yet the most important thing to me was the flavor.
Without a doubt. And I think
phenomenal.
We have to start with flavor because that's what people shoot for. And I don't think they realize the difference in flavor right off the bat from an animal like that. The other thing is, too, is this kind of circle of life thing. And I'll explain how that happens with us. Over the last, over the last summer months, so we're about 4 months in, I would buy produce from the farmer's market. I would utilize most of the produce, but whatever I didn't utilize started going into a bin specifically to give back to the pigs so they can enjoy.
Now, so
we're talking about stuff that grew out of the ground. I didn't use it all. Instead of throwing it in a garbage pan, I gave it to them back, and they got to enjoy it. It's not something that was cooked. It was all the raw product. It was the ends. It was, you know, things that weren't going to work on the plate. And how amazing for it to know that it went back in to this pig, ended up back with us, and we're getting all this great flavor from it. We know what it ate. We know where it was. We know how it was raised. And when we're enjoying it, even if I did a comparison side to side and you didn't look, you would know it was a better treated animal. It was taken. But and then the flavor that ultimately comes out of this is ridiculous. I mean, it just jumps off. Again, it goes back to things we've talked about in the past where sometimes you don't need a lot of sauce. Sometimes you don't need to be complicated with it. A pork chop this way or a paillard or a little medallion that's pan-seared, salt, pepper, maybe a drizzle of something or an addition is all you really need because it'll stand out on its own. And that's kind of where we're going with this pork right now.
You hit it, you know, and what people, I think, for so long have gotten accustomed, particularly in this country, is, you know, I go out and I think in terms of my food value of how much I'm going to get on the plate. So chefs and, you know, managing kitchens and it's a business, you know, to compete for a long time, you had to put a volume out there. Well, what did you sacrifice? You sacrificed the flavor. You were just, you know, getting cheaper, you know, cuts of meat, animals that were processed industrially. So the cost per pound was down, you know, of the dressed, you know, carcasses,
sure,
et cetera. But, you know, and I think too, and you know, I think some chefs actually, and I may get some criticism for this, but I think some chefs got lazy and instead of doing some of their own butchery and craft, you know, cutting of the different, you know, types of meats that we can get out of there, you know, they started ordering off the semi-truck, everything
right,
vacuum sealed, packed industrially, you know, and they're uninspired and you throw it in a pan, you cook it, you put it on a plate, you put this sauce over it, and it had to have a sauce because the meat had no flavor. And it's one of those things when somebody goes to your restaurant and they're going to taste this pork paillard, and we'll get into that in just a minute, that recipe, they're going to be blown away because they probably, I would reckon, and I'd bet, they've never actually tasted quality pork.
And I'm going to admit this only to you and to the millions.
The 8,000, 8 million people listening, right? It's just our secret. You're just here with me.
I will tell you this, that at some point in my career, that is the kind of stuff I was doing, whether it was being lazy, creating for the masses, doing this, going into that mindset where it's really not about worrying about the food. It's put out a decent product, take care of people, and they'll be happy. Well, you know what? There's no soul in doing that. There is no excitement
in doing
that. It's when you when you find people around you that say, hey, what if we did? Once you start seeing that and hearing that, and you know in your gut as a chef when you go that way, it's almost like copping out or just saying, okay, I'm just going to do this because this is what's going to get me paid. When you do that,
I'm so glad you came back from the dark side.
Well, and I need to be honest about it because to be preaching to the masses and saying this is the way we need to do it, and then to not realize that I've been there before. I know the difference. I've tasted the difference. I've seen the difference. I felt the difference. I know why it's so good to be doing it this way now, and I really want to share that with people and say, hey, listen, I grew up eating like this. I kind of went away from that and said, I don't think, you know, how important is it? But once you go away from that, you come back to it, you realize how important it is. And it's so exciting.
It's never too late. It's never too late to come back.
Exactly.
Hey, you folks out there, come on back. Come back to the, you know, come back.
or start going in that direction if you've never lived in that world. You will see a major difference in the way you feel, how good you feel about the food, how good the food tastes, how easy it is to prepare, and what you can do. And having people around you that think like that is a lot of fun. And I got it good, man. I have you that I get to talk with on a regular basis when we talk about this kind of food. I have people that work with me in the kitchen that cook this kind of food. It's just a beautiful world to live in. And I trust that everyone try it.
And I think when the folks at home, if you haven't already, you know, get out there and start cooking this way, and you're going to find that not only do you feel better, but that whole food experience, everyone you feed, you're nourishing them. You're giving them pleasure, not only in food that's great for them, but so much more than that, because you really are delivering sort of happiness in the plate. You said it earlier, you know, it's the taste that lingers. When all else is said and done, it's the taste we remember, the taste of the moment and the food. And when you can combine that on a regular basis, man, you are just putting love on a plate. And you know, is that gonna solve the world's problems? No, I realize that, but it's a hell of a good place to start, you know, with the people around you.
If it's not the world problems, at least your problems for that day kind of change up a little bit. How's that?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, this meal, and I loved that you borrowed from I'm sure one of your mentors as well, one of mine. You know, the culinary giants we look up to, Jacques Pepin. And I loved, again, this is the classic essence of the Mediterranean approach. Great quality pork. Most people don't realize this. And I talk about it in my new book, Ancient Eats, because I cover the Viking cuisine and the ancient Greek cuisine. But pork was the most commonly consumed domesticated animal in all of ancient Greece in the Mediterranean. And it goes back to really what you talked about. You see, cattle, they didn't have a lot of it, so they didn't have a lot of dairy because cattle take a lot of room. They need a lot of grass. They need a lot to graze. Sheep are a little bit better in that you can put them on terrain that you can't really use for for cattle or much else. Goats the same way. So there was a lot of goat, there was a lot of sheep, but those were also used for other things: sheep's milk cheeses, goat's milk cheeses, sheep's for the wool, etc. Well, the pigs were one of the things that you could let go. And what they often did, for example, is they would let these pigs go in the forest in the fall, where they would just, you know, kind of eat the nuts and stuff that's around, and they can forage for themselves and, you know, land that otherwise you couldn't really use because you weren't really farming it. So that was one way that they used a domesticated pig. Of course, now we're paying top dollar, you know, for European imports, where they go, you know, the Iberian jambon, where they go wander and eat, you know, nuts during the fall. They pick up those subtle flavors, the black Iberian ham, I believe. Is that right? Right? Where they get that really nutty flavor.
Yeah.
But that was the way they did it all the time. So pigs were very appreciated because you could use all parts of the pig. So a very classic Mediterranean recipe here.
Well, it's funny because when you think of producing a nice piece of meat for someone and taking something like a tender pork fillet from the tenderloin, the pork loin, and butterflying it and pounding it out nice and thin, coat it with a little seasoning and oil, grill it, and then transfer it to a warm oven area where you let it kind of relax and finish, and then just pour those juices onto it. You're amazed what happens, man. It just, and again, if it's good stuff, you'll never have to worry about something being too dry or not cooking correctly or just not having any flavor, any cardboard flavor. This will have tons of flavor and some nice pieces of fat and marbling throughout. So it's pretty cool. So I'm excited. So should I give out that recipe real
quick?
Folks,
what Chef just walked, what Chef just walked you through, and he'll do it again. That's a payard. So take it away, Chef.
Well, and it's
très
and
bon
it's
français.
And it's basically payard. It's just a French name for a thin piece of meat or beef, whatever it is. We might call them medallions in Italian. Oh, not medallions. Scaloppini in Italian. Medallions, you'll say in English. But it's taking a pork fillets or a pork tenderloin, pork loin, some fillet of the pork that has a nice amount of marbling around it, pounding it out to about a quarter inch thick, and then basically you're gonna cut those, like I said, pound them out, quarter inch thick. Take rosemary leaves, fresh rosemary leaves, peppercorns, and salt in a mini grinder or in a you could crush them by hand or however, and you want to make this fresh mixture of the peppercorns, rosemary leaves, and the salt, and that's all your seasoning. You put some oil on a plate, and you dip both sides of the paillards in the oil. Cook immediately with the salt and pepper, with the mixture over the top. And then what you're going to do, well, here's more important. Let's take a step back. We're going to pour the oil on the plate, dip both sides of paillard in oil, right? Or we could either cook it immediately, or we could stack the pieces of pork on the plate and then cover them and let them refrigerate for about 8 hours. Now, what you're doing with that, you have them seasoned, you have the oil, you have them ready. They tenderize even a little bit more. They hold really well, and that's all you need to do. But talk about the simplest, quickest form of cooking. When you're ready to cook, you get your grill really hot, and then you place the paillards on the grill and cook them for about a minute and a half on each side. And you almost undercook the meat because you don't want pork cooked fully through while it's on the heat. It's the same thing when you're cooking eggs. You don't need to cook eggs the whole way because when you remove them, they're going to continue cooking. Pork will do that too. And then basically what you're going to do is take the pork that you've...
And folks, what you've heard us talk about this before. That's called carryover heat or carryover cooking, and you'll hear that a lot on these cooking shows. So, Chef just took us to school on that. And so, and the one other thing is, I know a lot of folks may have grown up with thinking that pork had to be cooked, all the way through till it was really tough. No. You almost want to see a little blush of pink in it here. So, along with what you're saying is, you don't want to overcook it. It's just going to get tough, and you don't have to overcook it.
And there's never a reason to overcook pork. You want to see some pink in there at all points in time. Well, unless we're doing pork shanks, but we'll do that on another show. How's that?
What?
So anyway,
so
now you have this oven-proof serving platter that you're kind of arranging your pork on, and you place it uncovered in the warm oven. You could, the recipe that Jacques Pepin does is 10 for as little as 10 minutes or as long as 30 minutes to kind of relax and finish cooking in its own residual heat, and that's the carryover cooking. Now, by doing that, you're not adding heat to it that's going to kind of tighten it. It's actually, when we talk about relaxing, or he talks about relaxing, it's actually relaxing. The muscle fibers will relax now. They've been cooked. They're perfect, and they're going to still carry over and cook a little bit more. But what's also going to do is that the pork will kind of extract a little bit of its own juice, and that you have the seasoned juice that comes out right out of the pork. So it's the pork juice, it's the rosemary, it's the salt, it's all these flavors coming out, and it's creating its own little sauce. And as Jacques does, you then take them, put them on a plate, and then take those residual juices. Never, ever throw those away. They're so beautiful. Gold. You just pour
it. That is culinary gold.
Exactly. You just drizzle it over the top of the pork. You're going to have tender pork because you're using good quality pork, especially. You're going to have great sauce from the juice. It's creating its own au jus. And then all you need to serve with this, one of my favorite things, is a mesclun or a fresh mix of chopped greens, different varieties of greens. Chop them up, toss them with a little bit of light olive oil, cracked real salt. You know, of course, we love to use real salt now because that's an amazing salt to add. It's add some salt, extra virgin olive oil, toss with some mixed greens over the top of Paillard, and they kind of just warm. They get a little bit warm from the warmed pork. But one of the best, simple, exciting, light meals you could create for yourself, and you'll be very, very happy with it.
Oh, absolutely. And again, this highlights what I really talk about in the new book, Ancient Eats, is the Mediterranean approach. I loved how you used a little fresh rosemary, a couple of whole black peppercorns. We crush those, together, get just really fresh, fragrant. And again, you know, it's a high quality ingredient. So we're focusing on the quality, and then we're highlighting it, you know, with a couple of, you know, two, three items, maybe a little bit of olive oil. Of course, we want to use, like our friends at Real Salt, make sure you put Dr. Mike in the coupon code there. So
there
when
you
head on over there, you get that extra discount for all our listeners there. A quality salt, so simple. And I actually agree with you 100%. You know, the light salad that you put over there, that's a really nice light dish. And then the juices, what I find, you know, you let the juices from the pork, you know, run into the olive oil on the vegetables, and it kind of creates this just wonderful synergy. It's almost like a, you know, an extra flavorful dressing, because you're getting the peppercorn bite, you're getting the rosemary, that pork flavor, it all just melts together. And really, again, you know, we've talked about this before, but can we get much simpler, Chef? I mean, you're pounding out, you know, a pork filet, and you're using like three or four ingredients, and that's it. There's nothing tricky here. It's very simple, but simple doesn't mean, you know, a lack of flavor. And I think that sometimes, you know, people, like with wine snobbery, get caught up in food snobbery, and it's, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that. And it's about how many foams, you know, I can make on the plate, and, you know, and, you know, what molecular thing I can deconstruct, and, you know, let's just eat some real damn food.
And that is the key. Hey, you know what? I'm going to come up with a couple of recipes that have a couple more, let's say, techniques on it next time. But this week, and you know what we've done in previous weeks, keeping it simple kind of hits home on what we talk about all the time. But it'll be fun the next time we come around, maybe a porchetta, a little more longer cooking process for those people who are looking for something to the next level. We'll get to one of those in the future. But one of the things about pork, and this is exciting about having a full pig on our table upstairs, is the fact that we have so many cuts to do so many different things with. So from everything from pickling parts of it to making head cheese to making sausage to doing a paillard to doing a roast to doing a porchetta, it's incredible what you could do with a full pig. So if you ever get that opportunity, have fun with it.
And one of my favorites to use this recipe for would be a Denver steak, if you can find it. I work with my friends at the Cloven Hoof, and it's that muscle back by the trapezius, you know, back on the back shoulder there. You just pull off a Denver steak there, and it pounds out. It's perfectly marbled for this. You know, I've done this one before. So if you can find it, or talk to your butcher, if they can get you that cut, it's phenomenal. And it's something you don't often see. It's a traditional beef cut, so you don't often see it with pork. But, you know, I advise folks to experiment and enjoy. And, Chef, before we go, where can folks find you?
Well, if you want to find me on Facebook, go to Chef Luca Paris. You'll see a lot of stuff we're doing. Also, Chef Luca 5 on Instagram, Chef Luca 5 on Instagram, Chef Luca on Twitter. I'm all over the place there. And you can go to lucaparis.com, see what's going on, setting up a new website for that. Get in touch with me, too, Luca at lucascafe.com. You have questions, you want to hear anything different on the show or a recipe, I'd be happy to answer those. We hope to talk to you soon. And as always, Mike, it is an honor and a pleasure to talk to you and talk food and hang out with you. You're the best, brother.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I appreciate that, Chef. And again, you'll always find Chef Luca here on Culinary CPR and Co-Delicious with Dr. Mike here on Radio MD. And until we meet again, my friends, may the only pain in your life be champagne.